Tony Broom Ministries presents the following sermon entitled, Seek and Save the Lost. Seek and Save the Lost. That's our subject today. Seek and Save the Lost. When you think about the word lost, I've heard for years there are lost people and there are saved people. What's the difference? There's certainly a big difference, but I got to thinking about that word lost. So I decided to look it up. And here's what the Oxford Dictionary had to say about it. Since Oxford's so close to Henderson and Lewisburg and all that, I figured we'd believe what the Oxford Dictionary had to say about it. Well, the word lost means not knowing where you are or how to find your way. It also means being very confused, insecure, or in difficulties. So if you're lost, you've lost your way. You don't know where you are. You don't know your way. And sometimes being lost doesn't mean that you are lost geographically. You know where you are. You know what building you're in. You know what place you're in. You know where you're located. But that other definition, being very confused, insecure, or in great difficulties. As the girl in the middle of the store looked very lost and confused. She was lost. So we can be lost, and we can be lost in direction, or we can be lost as far as not having purpose or direction in life. Lost by birth or choice. The psalm says it like this: they went astray as soon as they were born. As soon as they were born, they went astray. And so that's what a lost life is. One of the big theological things that came up was whether people are lost who have never heard the gospel, whether people are lost when they're born. The answer is yes, people are lost who are heathen. The question really was, are the heathen lost? And the answer is yes, the heathen are lost. Those who have never heard the gospel, and God will make sure that somehow people have a chance to be saved. And he makes sure that people hear the gospel. But if someone has not heard the gospel, God is the one who is the judge of all people, and he will do what's right. But the scripture tells us that the heathen are lost. I know the heathen are lost because I was both of them. I was a heathen and I was lost. All of us have been lost. You're lost by birth, or you're lost by choice. The longest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 119, it has 176 verses. And the very last verse of that long Psalm 119, verse 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. You can be lost by birth, but you can also be lost by choice. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Once you have heard the gospel message, you may fight, you may kick, you may drink, you may do all these things, you may go away, but you do not forget. Once you have heard the gospel message, you'll never be the same again. And we have to make sure that the gospel message keeps on shining out. No matter what times we're living in, and we're living in troublous times, as if the pandemic and virus and disease and all the unemployment and all that was not bad enough, then you've got the looting and stealing and killing and all that to go on top of it. And troublous times that we've never seen. But people are living the way they're living because they're lost. People live lost. And that's the way that we lived when we were lost. They say that you show your true colors. Well, you do. I was reading in Isaiah today about the leopard not being able to change his spots, the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, and neither can my people who are accustomed to doing evil change and do good. Well, you cannot change and do good, but you can come to God and he can change you and he can make something beautiful out of your life. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Lost because of religion let down. So many people have been lost because of religion let down. Man-made religion, or religion that has taken advantage of people. Now, not salvation. Salvation will never let you down. But religion will. Religion will let you down. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4 and 16. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. So the sick have to be healed. The wounded have to be strengthened. The lost have to be sought. Seek and save the lost. You have not sought the lost. The lost are not going to automatically come to the Lord or come to the church or come to the gospel. We have to seek the lost. He said, you have not sought that which is lost. You have not sought to bring that which is driven away back. And so God says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. There are only two ways. There are salvation and judgment. Everybody's talking about race, all this racial talk. They're not but two races. One is the race of the first Adam, and the second is the race of the second Adam. All of us are and have been part of the race of the first Adam. But everybody's not race of the second Adam, that is Jesus. Jesus comes and he saves us, and he gives us salvation to seek and to save that which is lost. People just live out what they want to do. And they live out the things that come naturally. But God says, I will bring again that which is lost. I will cause those who have been driven away to come. I will destroy the fat and the strong, those who have made themselves fat and rich and strong through religion, taking advantage of God's people. He said, I will destroy that. I will bring judgment upon that. Lost children and sheep are precious to Jesus. He compares a lost child like a lost sheep. And there's nothing more tender and precious than a sheep and a child. We have a guy that's got some sheep two or three houses above me. I can go on the back porch a lot of times. I hear them baa, baa. I like to stand out there and hear them. And a sheep is precious. And so are children. In the sight of the Lord. He says, suffer the children to come to me and forbid them not. In Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Now that's something that you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. Jesus said that these children are precious because they're angels. They have an angel that is apparently looking out for them. Their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now, some people might say, well, that means their spirit. No, their spirit is in their body. Their spirit is in their body, and so it can't mean their spirit. It's got to mean their angel that is in heaven that is watching out for them. They're always beholding the face of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus cares about these little children. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for their angels are always beholding the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. A child can be lost. Now, I said earlier that we're all born in sin and we're all born lost. However, before a child reaches the age of accountability, if that child dies or something happens to that child, they are taken care of. They go to be with Jesus. But as far as born as Christians, none of us are born saved. Oh, to God that we were. If we were born saved, we'd never have to get saved because we'd already be saved. None of us are born Christians. We have to be born again. And when we're born again, then we become a Christian. But until that time that you're born again, you're lost. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. How think you, or what do you think about this? What do you think? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So, whether it's a sheep, and a sheep, of course, doesn't have a soul and a value, can't be saved, but he's using a sheep. It's just like a sheep that has gone astray. You leave the 99 and you go and you look for that lost sheep. And even so, it's the will of your Heavenly Father that not one of these little ones should perish. Every child that is born in this world, and all of us were children at one time, but every child, every one, and every child that's born in this world, God has a plan for that soul to be saved. It's not that some are planned or destined to be saved and others are destined to be lost. That would be a cruel God, and it would be a bad thing to even think about something like that being true. It's not true. The thing is that God is willing. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. God's will is that everyone be saved. And children are like sheep. They're precious in the sight of God. God wants them to grow up. He wants them to be taken care of. He wants them to be nurtured. He wants them to have a good home. And most of all, he wants them to be saved where they can have a home in heaven. That's what God's will is. Lost souls are beyond earthly value. There's no way that you can value the value of a soul. You cannot put a price tag on a soul. One soul is worth more than 10 zillion worlds, and all the silver and the gold in this world cannot even touch the value of a soul. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And to that we say, Praise God he does. I'm glad he receives sinners, aren't you? I'm glad the Lord receives those who are in sin. If we were righteous, we would not need to be received by the Lord. Now, the righteous people need God's help. Everybody needs God's help. But if you're righteous, Jesus said, they do not need a doctor. They don't need a physician. But those who are sick do. And those who are righteous, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He does receive sinners. And the song says, Christ receiveth sinful men. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. We come to him as a lost sinner. You don't come good enough. You don't come having enough works. You don't come because you can play the piano. You don't come because you can sing good. You don't come because you have a lot to offer the church. You come as a lost, hell-bound sinner on your way to hell without anything and merit, without any goodness, without anything to offer God. You come just as you are, and he saves you just as you are. He doesn't want you to stay just as you are. Jesus, then he goes on to tell the parable of the man who has 100 sheep and loses one. He looks everywhere until he finds it. Verses 7 through 10, Luke 15, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, the scripture says all men everywhere need to repent, and that means they need to repent as sinners and get right with God. And sometimes as Christians, we need to repent. But if you're a righteous person, you don't need to repent and get saved because you're already saved. And so the Lord is saying here, these 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, they need the blessing of God. We need the help of God. We need the encouragement of God. We need the Lord. We need him every hour. I need thee. Yes, blessed Lord, I need thee every hour. But we don't have to repent. You don't have to go around repenting all the time. The devil does that to you. That's not God. You don't have to go around repenting all the time. But that sinner, that person who's gone astray, and he goes and he seeks that sheep and he finds that sheep, the Bible tells me that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The angels are glad that we're serving God, but they don't rejoice like they do when somebody gets saved. Now, they have rejoiced when we got saved. When we got saved, they had their time of rejoicing. And now it's that other sinner's turn. When he gets saved, they rejoice. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, all her girlfriends, and girlfriends mean the pure thing way back when you and I were coming up, not like it does now, but she calls her girlfriends together and she says, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So this is a precious thing. She had 10 pieces of silver. She could have said, well, I just lost one. I got 9 left. No, she wanted to find it because it was precious. Silver was precious then. It's like commodities and money are precious now. It's not something you can take for granted anymore. And so she lights a candle. She lights a lamp and she sweeps and she does everything she can and she finds that precious piece of silver. And that's the way it is about a soul. Likewise, there's joy in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. If we want to cause joy in heaven today, we'll do what we can to make sure the gospel gets out so sinners can repent. Next, he relates the story of the prodigal son. Now, you know the story of the prodigal son. The younger son, he goes and he tells his father, I want the goods that are coming to me. Give me my portion of the living. He goes out and he has a ball. He thinks he does. He has a good time and he spends it all and spurns it all, wasted, weary, and worn. The young man finds himself in a foreign country and lonely land. He comes to himself and returns to the father. He is forgiven and restored, and they throw a big banquet. And we say they throw a big party. Verse 24 and verse 32. The father rejoices, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They had the music. They had the dancing. They killed the fatted calf. And they rejoiced. Big brother got mad about it. Oh, I've been here all this time. I've never gone astray. This your big bad boy came and you had this big party for him. What's going on? And the father comes out to him and said, son, you got to rejoice with me. You got to help me because you're always with me and I'm always with you and everything I have belongs to you. It was meet, it was necessary that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so there's no value that can be placed on a human soul. Lost people are saved from every walk of life. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector. And he got saved. And there are people who are poor that get saved. There are people in the middle that get saved from all walks of life. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. Everybody needs a savior. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. All of us need a savior. Lost people remain blinded in unbelief until they see the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 in verse 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. All of us were blinded in sin. We were blinded by Satan. The God of this world had blinded the hearts and minds of those who do not believe. Kept us in darkness, walking in darkness, living in darkness. He did not want us to see the light of the glorious gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, God who said, let there be light, and there was light, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In all of Paul's writings, this is the only place where he uses the word lost. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but Paul didn't talk a lot about the lost. Well, he talked about it a lot, about getting saved, but he only used the word lost here. You may wonder why. Since so much of what he had to say was about being saved and being conformed to Christ, becoming more like Jesus, that's precisely it. That's the exact answer. He did everything he could to see that as many people were saved and conformed to the image of Christ as possible. Many are lost. Paul knew it, and we do too. He said in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He even went so far as by using the example of wishing himself to be a curse from Christ, if that would do any good, toward the salvation of his family and nation. Jesus says that the fields are already white and ripe for the harvest, but the laborers are few. It seems like nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to get saved. Nobody will ever come to God anymore. People are just getting meaner and meaner. That's the way it looks. But Jesus said, don't say the harvest is way off. Don't say it's coming 4 months from now. Don't say wait till next year. He says, the fields are white. They're ripe already for the harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest. And when you pray and hoe, H-O, that means stop. When you pray and hoe, you might just find the woe, W-O-E, for you better be ready to go. And maybe that's why it's so that so many Christians say no. Well, what about praying for the lost? Should we pray for the lost? Should we pray for souls? Why, you say, well, yeah, you know we ought to pray for people to get saved. But Jesus didn't say necessarily to pray for the lost. Rather, to pray for the laborers. People are either lost or saved. If they are saved, then that means that they do not need to be saved. They're already saved. That makes it easier, or at least more focused. Men should like that because we're the ones who are the worst for multitasking. Just give me one thing at a time, they bark out. All right, you got it. Or you have it, if you like dignified English better, the lost.
You have been listening to a sermon entitled Seek and Save the Lost. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. You will not be lost, but you'll be saved. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.